Money Talk.
This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code Amendment Bill 2025, strengthening India's insolvency framework. The participants are Sushma Ramachandran, economic analyst, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
On the Money Talk today, we decode the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code Amendment Bill 2025. Will it really strengthen India's insolvency framework? From faster resolutions to creditor-driven reforms and cross-border insolvency, what does the new IBC amendment mean for banks, businesses, and you? Is India finally ready with a modern insolvency regime that matches global standards? We will ask all these and more from our expert, economic analyst Sushma Ramachandran. Welcome to Money Talk, Sushma.
Thank you, Rajesh.
Sushma, what is the core objective of the IBC Amendment Bill 2025 and what is the reason to have it now?
The key objectives are some of which you have. It seeks to reduce the procedural bottlenecks which have been growing over the years, to reduce litigation and enhance the control of creditors over the entire process of resolution and liquidation of companies. I think the few most important things are speeding up the insolvency process and liquidation proceedings, because these have been taking a lot of time. The second is to give greater importance to the creditor, and they have a new system called the creditor-initiated insolvency resolution process, and that gives more powers to the creditors, enabling an out-of-court initiative and settlement without having to go necessarily initially through the National Company Law Tribunal. And of course, thirdly, it is also bringing the law in alignment with global frameworks and ensuring that we are able to now move into a scenario where we match the corporate systems, where you have so many of our Indian companies going global and they have international assets. And therefore, we need to tackle this entire process and ensure that we have recovery of assets and that the international stakeholders are protected. So that is, of course, the objective. The reason for having it right now is that the 2016 law was, of course, an excellent bill when it was initiated. It was widely welcomed at the time, but it has got bogged down by many issues. And one of the big ones is judicial delays and also the other delays in terms of implementation. In fact, right now, it has been reported that there are as many as over 30,000 cases pending for resolution, and there are thousands stuck at the admission stage. Now, one of the reasons for this is the inadequate capacity of the NCLT benches. And therefore, it has not been possible for them to deal with these cases. And then, of course, there is the frequent litigation. There is the delay in admission of cases, which has got further deepened by recent court rulings, and the lack of operational expertise of resolution professionals in some areas. So, you know, there's been a lot of pile-up, a lot of backlog, and hopefully this new amendment bill will be able to streamline issues and, you know, resolve these problems.
So you think, as you mentioned, will these new timelines and mandatory admission norms actually reduce delays at the NCLT level?
Yes, it looks like it. Now, first of all, is the issue of the timeline that we talked about, you know, that I talked about right at the outset, because earlier under the old law, merely admitting the cases under NCLT was taking time. And as I said, the court ruling gave NCLT the discretion not to admit cases, even if there was a default. But now under the new provision, the adjudicating authority must decide in 14 days if a default has taken place, it must either admit or reject. And there was earlier a 330-day limit, which has now come down to 14 days. Then liquidation proceedings, they must now be completed within 180 days, with an extension of only 90 days. And then they have reduced the voluntary liquidation time to 1 year. So these timelines have been made very strict. The other thing that has happened is that it has been greater powers have been given to creditors, and they have initiated, as I said, that CIIR, and it's an out-of-court process. So financial creditors can start insolvency without NCLT intervention to speed up the resolution. So these provisions are likely to streamline the scenario and ensure that these many cases which have been piled up should be cleared much more quickly because there are timelines. And also penalties are being imposed for frivolous litigation ranging up to ₹2 crores, because this has been a big problem, because whenever the decisions are taken, you have appeals and appeals going up to various levels in the courts. So this is another issue that is being dealt with.
Okay. Nirmala Sitharaman yesterday in the Lok Sabha introduced the bill and elaborated on the changes the bill proposes. Let's listen in.
Sir, I rise to move that the bill as amended be passed.
This bill replaces the underutilized fast track process, that is essentially the CIRP with reduced timeline for small companies. So the fast track process, which was not being utilized fully, is now with a new creditor initiated insolvency framework featuring out of court settlements, initiations, debtor in possession and creditor in control model. Earlier it was more creditor in control and all. Now debtor will be still sitting in the board and running his company. The creditor initiated insolvency framework enables this process. So the management continues to vest in the existing board of directors, but with safeguards and defined timelines. Additionally, this set of amendments also introduces an enabling framework for group insolvency, cross-border insolvency, to promote investor confidence.
So, Sushma, how does the bill change the role and powers of the Committee of Creditors in the resolution and the liquidation process?
The enhanced role of creditors, as the finance minister said, is very, very significant. One of the things in this context I must mention is that they have also changed the priority given to various types of dues, so that the financial creditors' dues are given priority over statutory government dues. Now, this situation, one of the court rulings had said that given statutory government dues a higher status over those of the financial creditors, and this had created a lot of problems. So this bill also has ensured that financial creditors are given a precedence over statutory government dues. The Committee of Creditors is now got more powers. One of the reasons is that in the past, there have been cases where the liquidator has not been functioning as he should, and there have been a lot of delays once again in either resolution or in liquidation. Now the Committee of Creditors has the authority to remove or appoint liquidators, and this is expected to speed up the entire resolution process. This admission process is also has been made short, but the Committee of Creditors gives greater powers to the creditors. And, you know, this is going to also help small businesses which have been waiting for relief from companies and which are stuck because these companies are in insolvency proceedings and they're not able to get the funds. Because some of these companies, Rajesh, the insolvency proceedings which were mandated to be up to 330 days have taken as long as over 700 days to be resolved. So these are the issues that are sought to be streamlined in this new bill. As the finance minister said, is certainly going to improve the ease of doing business.
So do you think the operational creditors and MSMEs will get a fairer deal under the new provision?
Once you have the creditors given greater power and the whole process being made much shorter. I mean, this process, unfortunately, as I said, when the IBC bill was introduced 10 years ago, there was a great deal of enthusiasm and it was welcomed by the entire corporate community. But in actual operation, the problem was that there was so much of litigation and there was so much of delay. So it's a small businesses which are required to get their payments from these companies which were having problems. Now these small and medium businesses should be able to get their dues in time. And the finance minister also said that they want to ensure that enterprises which have value are made viable. It's not just a question of debt recovery. The whole new legislation is designed to ensure that you aim towards a fair and equitable process of creating a viable and productive enterprise.
Sushma, let's listen in to what the finance minister said yesterday in the Lok Sabha on the benefits of IBC.
I would like to take a minute to say what IBC has actually contributed. The IBC, first of all, sir, IBC is a framework for reviewing viable businesses and resolving financial stress while preserving the enterprise value. It was never intended to be a debt recovery tool. It never claimed as the original intent of the IBC. Recovery values are a byproduct. So the main intention is to rescue viable businesses and make sure that we resolve the financial stress which they face. So the IBC process, therefore, naturally, is a market-driven process. Recoveries reflect underlying asset quality, commercial viability of the distressed enterprise. So basically, if the company's asset valuation itself is even at the point in time of admission.
So Sushma, does narrowing the window, which you also mentioned, and the finance minister also said a while back, narrowing the window for withdrawal of cases help or hurt out-of-court settlements and value maximization?
Definitely. It will shorten the period of the entire process, and therefore that is, of course, going to help in the entire process. Till now, what has been happening is that these cases have been dragging on for literally years, and partly not necessarily due to government inaction, but a great deal due to judicial delays and litigation. But by taking all these measures to shorten the timelines and making these timelines very strict, I think this is going to definitely help all enterprises, but largely small and medium enterprises who are dependent a great deal for their cash flow from these, on funds coming from these enterprises.
So Sushma, how far does this bill really go in building a workable framework for cross-border and group insolvency?
I think one thing we have not mentioned is that it actually also brings this legislation into the modern world by introducing the concept of digital integration. There will also be a provision for an electronic portal in which these issues can be raised, and you can expand the entire process of these activities through the digital process. And that brings us, you know, more into the modern process. And secondly, as you talked about cross-border transactions, this area has been a lacuna because now, as I said, Indian companies are going international and they have assets abroad. There are problems. Obviously, these happen at times. And to deal with these issues, the bill has got the provisions to ensure that cross-border insolvency proceedings can be dealt with, and we can engage with foreign courts. And by the way, is also modeled on a framework prepared by finalized by the United Nations Commission on International Trade Law. And this is a similar model followed by advanced economies like the UK, the US and Singapore. So we are aligning with global practices, and therefore it should be easier for us to carry out cross-border transactions in areas of insolvency and bankruptcy.
So Sushma, how will these changes impact recovery rates and provisioning for banks and NBFCs?
The problem has been so far that the actual recoveries have been very low. I mean, there are some reports say it's as low as 5-6%. Some say it is as high as only 30-35%. So the haircuts, which are the losses that creditors have to incur on these issues, are fairly high. So till now, recoveries have not been of the level that was expected when the so original act was brought in. So it is to be expected that these procedures will ensure that the recoveries will improve, and thereby, of course, banks are the biggest creditors in many cases, and therefore they will definitely, you know, find their scenario improving because they have been involved in many of these cases, and these have been going to court, and the banks have been losing out. So hopefully this will improve the level of recoveries. I mean, certainly it will improve the level of recoveries if insolvency proceedings lead to a proper resolution and liquidation of companies, then the banks will definitely benefit.
Thank you, Sushma, for unpacking how the IBC Amendment Bill 2025 could reshape India's credit culture and business landscape.
Thank you, Rajesh.
You were listening to a discussion on Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code Amendment Bill 2025, Strengthening India's Insolvency Framework. The participants were Sushma Ramachandran, Economic Analyst, and Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
Money Talk.